Stand by. Here we go. Finally, things are working around here.
We got creepy guy out of the building. He's having his effect on the air product.
I'll never leave.
Very weird.
That's what we're afraid of.
Very, very weird.
Yeah, I didn't want to point that out because once I started talking, it went away. Huh. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you are just saying. All right.
Good karma, Judy Pilak.
Oh.
Our beloved Chicago Blackhawks getting ready for the playoffs. Big, big win yesterday at the United Center against those Boston Bruins. Pesky Boston Bruins. Scott Darling was in goal, and now he is sitting on the Super Celebrity Hotline, and we appreciate him being with us. And Scott, it was quite a moment. Now I do have to ask you this question though, because it was crazy time yesterday, wasn't it, at the United Center?
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, it was 6-0 going into the third period. Hawks were up, and then all of a sudden it's like all hell broke loose. And the announcers, now you don't get to hear this. You don't get to the advantage of having a bunch of people naysaying you live while you're trying to do your job.
Thankfully,
but and they're all
I just
nope.
See it all afterwards. That's fine.
I know, because they were all over you about that. What happened yesterday?
Yeah, you know, we got out to a big lead. You know, the ice was tilted down their way, and you know, they had that little shot of life at the end of the second, getting those two quick goals, and then the ice just tilted the opposite direction, and they were coming. You know, their season was on the line, and they weren't giving up, and definitely an exciting game, not the way you want it to play out, but fun for the fans to watch.
Okay, so in the mind of a goalie, a very and now you know you've had some amazing experiences as a goalie here, and in your mind as you're watching this happen, how do you right that ship for yourself emotionally? Because you know if you start to lose confidence, that's going to affect your timing, right? So what were you thinking to get yourself to make sure that those last two goals didn't get scored?
You're not playing afraid to lose, like. You got to keep those thoughts out of your head, like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to blow a 6-goal lead. You're just trying to stop the next puck and trying to stay in the moment and not worry about the score and just do your job. And, you know, luckily we pulled that one out.
Yes, it was all good. It was all good at the end. It was all good.
Yes, it was.
Patrick Kane with a hat trick.
There.
It was fun. It was a fun moment. I mean, Patrick Kane's hat trick was just one of those magical Hawks moments. You know, yesterday as you're watching that, and I know as a Chicago kid, Scott, you got to always be. I know we've talked about this before, but you got to be pinching yourself that you're in this great moment of history because Temi Panarin got the number one star for the month, right?
Yep, for the NHL.
For the NHL, and now, I mean, it's you know all but a lock that Artemi Panarin is going to get Rookie of the Year and Patrick Kane's going to get MVP, first American born MVP ever in NHL history.
Well, I mean, it's not. Not said yet, but you know they're both more than deserving of those. They've had incredible seasons. You know, Kaner's always been incredible, but he's been at a whole another level this season. And then, you know, the Breadman, I think he tied Kaner's rookie year in points of 72 points already. So, I mean, that says something about what he's done.
Yep.
Great story in the Tribune about how well you're filling in for Corey Crawford, and the 9 consecutive games as he's been out and day-to-day. And you were saying something about how it's been a long time since you've played several consecutive games. Talk about that, what that's been like.
Yeah, it's definitely been a change for me. Throughout my whole pro career, I've always been in kind of a 1A, 1B situation where you kind of just split the games, and that's pretty much it. So it's been the two ends of the spectrum this season, going from not playing a lot and then all of a sudden, you're playing, you know, 9-10 games in a row. It's been a lot of fun, though. It's been fun to feel that starter role and to know that if something goes wrong, it's going to be okay. You're going to play the next game, and it's been a lot of fun to play.
Scott, another milestone yesterday. Your coach, Joe Quenneville, recorded his 800th career regular season victories. Obviously had a ton of success here, 3 Stanley Cups. What separates him from other coaches you've played for, and what makes him so great?
You know, he has a really good pulse for the team, for the locker room, for the guys, you know, that are bringing the most out of us. And we all have a ton of respect for him, and we want to play hard for him and, you know, do the right things. And I'm sure the other teams he's coached, the players are the same way, and it's not shocking to us that he's had so much success.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of a moment, though, because he'll never catch Scotty Bowman, right?
No.
I mean, Scotty Bowman's got, what is it, a 14 million wins?
Somewhere around there, yes.
Yeah, roughly.
But Q will likely finish.
I don't know. I think he's got a couple years, you know. I think he's going to be behind the bench for a while. So
yeah, that's probably true.
We hope so.
That's probably true. All right, so, and I want to go back to that idea of playing in and out. Day in and day out. That's got to be helpful, though, doesn't it, to sort of be on the ice and you know, it's just sort of like the tensile strength gets better, right? Or is it tiring?
No, it's definitely that. It's your timing gets a lot sharper, your play recognition, and you're just more comfortable. You know, it's when you're playing once or twice a month, you put so much pressure on yourself to perform because that's your one game, you know, and here you can just relax and enjoy it, and you know, you definitely get into more of a rhythm the more you play.
Yeah. Was there something wacky with the ice yesterday? It seemed like there was both teams were having trouble maintaining their blades. It seemed like their edges, I should say. You saw guys wiping out and play, you know, unmolested. I mean, it's weird. What was going on there, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely fell victim to that also on the third goal. I think I stepped in a little pothole and lost my edge and fell down as the puck was going in, so I'm sure that didn't look too great. Generally, though, the ice at UC is great. They do a great job maintaining it. I can't speak for anybody else, but I know I got caught in a rut there on that third goal, and that's why it went in. So
yeah, I did see yesterday there was I know there was Patrice Bergeron, I think, just wiped out not – it wasn't touched by it. He was just trying to catch himself with the puck alone. I mean, he was head like 5-6 feet, you know, away from anybody else, and just goes head first.
Ooh.
And I noticed that there were guys catching. There was just some weird skating action, and I don't know because the temperature. One of the things that happens in buildings, especially this time of year, when all of a sudden the temperatures spike outside, and it got up into the mid 60s yesterday, and the doors were open as people are coming in and stuff. It seems like that can. That can affect the ice as it's going. So I don't know.
I would think so.
It would just, either that or everyone was drinking the night before. I just don't know.
Well, it was such an early game. I know I went to breakfast.
Could have been that. It could have been the early game. You know, maybe their feet weren't awake yet.
Right. It's so true. I went to my local breakfast spot in the West Loop, which is near the United Center, and it was packed with Hawks players at like 8 a.m. I'm like, what is going on? This is such a weird scene. You're used to seeing, you know.
Fun.
It is.
Good for the kids.
They were excited. I want to ask you, though, Sky, because you're known as being a local, you know, native of Chicago, suburban Lamont. Hometown hero. You have a lot of friends and family that tend to come to the games, and you know, you cover that. But now that you're playing so much, are they still coming? Are they losing interest? What's going on?
Oh, no, I mean, they're there every game.
They are like
they're
the whole crew.
Game,
you got to soak this up, right?
Not the whole crew. I got my family season tickets, so they come to most of the games. But sometimes they dish out the tickets to my grandparents or cousins, aunts, uncles. So there's always somebody. From the Darling clan there.
Nice.
Scott, I know things got a little funky towards the end of the game, and it was just a two-goal margin, but you guys come out to a 6-0 start. Did it feel sort of like a statement game for you guys where you've had sort of an up-and-down second half of the year and people have been throwing questions towards you guys, and yesterday you guys come out and just blow Boston out in the first half of the game, really?
Yeah, I mean... Yes and no. I mean, the offense has been clicking. Even last game in Winnipeg, you know, it was another, you know, up and down 5-4 win. And it's great to see the offense going like that leading into playoffs. And, you know, there's always going to be the criticism there. There always is by whomever saying it. But,
right.
You know, we're excited about our group and we have a lot of confidence heading into playoffs.
There's a lot of newspaper print and there's a lot of ink and you got to say something. I mean, that's true in radio, it's true in television, it's true in all of it. All right, so let's look ahead a little bit here. Obviously, you got the Blues. This is an important game coming up on Thursday. We're going to be out at the United Center for this. Second place is at stake here. And it does seem that does it matter to you guys who you play in the first round? Do you prepare? Are you hoping for one versus another team?
No, I don't really think so. I think the only thing that would be nice would be home ice advantage. As for what team it is, you know, if you win, you're going to play them all eventually. So you kind of just prepare for whatever team you're going to play. I don't think we're looking at that as much as it would be nice to have home ice.
I just wonder what, you know, I feel bad for. I feel bad for the nation of Canada.
Why is that?
Because this is a year, and the first in decades, that there will be no Canadian teams in the playoffs. And they take their hockey, I mean, you know, we in Chicago take our hockey very seriously, but I would even venture to say that it is nothing compared to the passion and the all-consuming nature that Canada feels for the game of hockey. And they got shut out. I mean, that is crazy stuff right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely unfortunate for their fans and you know, their country, because they are so excited about their teams there. But, you know, a few of those teams are in rebuilding stages and have a really bright futures. You know, Montreal, unfortunately, they lost their world-class goalie, which, you know, affected their season.
Yeah.
And you know, they'll be back. It's going to be fine. It's a part of the game. You go through seasons when things don't go your way, and I'm sure they'll be excited to get back on the ice next season.
Yeah, you point to Montreal. That's very interesting, because that's a team that has so much talent, and everybody was talking about Montreal being the ascendant team in the East, and they were going to be the ones to watch and knocking the Rangers out of the way and all that, and the Islanders have been on fire too. So, you know, as you look, it's so funny, because we spend so much time thinking about the West here. When you look, right, there's such great and interesting hockey that has been interesting storylines, I should say, that have played out in the Eastern Conference. And man, this year, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch the playoffs every night.
Yeah, I mean, the parity is going to be super tight. You can see the playoff race in the East right now. It changes every day, who's in, who's out. And for us, we're kind of just jostling for position. But over there, it's been pretty fun to watch the scoreboards every night and see who's moving up and who's getting bumped out.
Yeah, what is the dog mad about?
Is there a squirrel in the yard?
Yeah, what's happening there?
Actually, that's exactly what's happening right now.
I understand dog language, and I'm thinking that's
squirrel.
That's
squirrel.
People,
that's a squirrel.
The window.
Yeah, that's what the dog is saying right now.
So,
what kind of dog do you have?
She is a Havanese mutt mix. Everyone says she looks like Benji.
Oh.
I don't know what, you know, between you and Taser, I don't know. I mean,
in fairness, I inherited this dog through my fiance.
Okay. I know they always do. Well, I think
he's my stepchild.
I think that Taser's issue too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
when he's carrying that little teacup thing around, it looks like it fit into, you could actually get it in
a
solo
like a
cup
for it or something.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Well, that's good though. At least the dog is the dog wants to take on the squirrel something its own size, which is that's important. All right,
great.
Scott. Thank you very much
thank
for being with
Scott.
Us, man. It's great.
Of course, it's a pleasure as always.
Thanks, Scott. All right, and have fun. Have fun over the next number of weeks, because it's really going to be something.
By the way, 1970 was the last time Canada was shut out of the playoffs.
Ooh, imagine
1970,
that long ago.
And Scotty Bowman, 1,244 career wins. Q's got a ways to go.
800, right?
Yeah, 444.
Probably not going to catch him. But
I don't know.
He did sign that extension with the team this year. So,
Scotty Bowman continues. Now, that was as the coach, head coach.
Yes, right.
Scotty Bowman, in terms of games, because he's still, you know, is employed.
And even does with the Hawks now.
Right. So every time the Hawks win, he gets another win.
Yeah.
Career win.
So the 1,200 are strictly as a coach, head coaching, just blowing everyone out of the water. But Q's at 800.
And championships, too.
Yes.
The funny thing about Scotty Bowman is his son Stan, who would like to catch him, can't catch him
as an
executive, because every time Stan wins a Stanley Cup, his dad wins a Stanley Cup too.
Won 5 Stanley Cups in a row at one point with Montreal.
You know what Stan should do?
Stan should
fire his dad
from
the team so he could try to catch him. That's the only hope.
Stan's doing very well in his shadow of his dad.
Yes,
he seems to be doing okay.
He doesn't have any issues with that, I don't think.
Yeah. Do you think when Scotty calls Stan up and says, you know, here's something I would do about, you know, something, or, you know, and he'll be like, no, Dad, come on.
Leave me alone, Pops. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
It's going to be.
Just 3 regular season games left. Saturday, regular season wraps up for the Hawks, and then it's playoff time. And right now they match up against the Blues, Which
so
I think
tomorrow
would,
night is the Coyotes or Coyotes.
Coyotes. Thursday is the Blues.
Right. Here.
And things, yeah, and Saturday's on the road to wrap things up. Right now they're matched up against the Blues in the playoffs, which as long as they're not going out west to, for the first round and play the Kings or the Ducks, that's you're probably okay because they've had a lot of success against divisional opponents in the playoffs.
And it worked out okay last year
it
when
did.
They took on the Blues.
It did.
There was a lot of nervousness.
There was.
A lot of times in parts of my body that were supposed to be outside were inside during that series, but it was but it worked out. And I just got to keep the faith.